This is the Arise Ministries Collective podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm your host, Lisa Da Silva, and today we're talking about something very pertinent and timely: COVID-19 and school closures. So when I found out that schools were closed and some of you started texting me and emailing me and saying, I am raising the red flag, I called my longtime friend. She's a homeschool mother of five, Angie Forrester, and asked her to help us all out and offer some encouragement. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
And thanks for coming on such short notice.
Yeah. Wow. What a time we're having here.
Yeah. We're kind of living moment to moment.
Right. It's a moving target.
It is. And so I called you yesterday and said, we need your help.
Yeah. And I had just been thinking, man, there's a lot of people who are not living this out daily like we are, and it must be super overwhelming. So I'm glad that I can maybe just be adding a little bit of insight.
And I'm sure you will, because you've been homeschooling now for how many years?
Nine years.
And your kids are, what? Tell us about their age span.
So my oldest is 16 and my youngest is 7. So about every other year, we had a baby for a long time.
You did.
So we have homeschooled with nursing babies, and now actually probably the easiest season where they're all reading. So we've been through the gamut. And we've done it perfectly imperfect every year.
I love that. And that's something that I so appreciate about you. And we're going to hear that in here, is your candor, your honesty, that this can be an incredibly memorable time. And I know you're going to speak to that, but it is not going to be...
It's not going to be perfect.
It's not going to be perfect. So start us out here. I love that we're doing this right at the beginning of this season. Here in Clark County, where Angie and I live, schools have been closed now. They're closing for
six weeks.
So we have 6 weeks ahead of us. Angie Forrester, homeschool mother of five, what do we do?
Oh, have mercy. I was telling Lisa, I said, you know, even though I've been homeschooling for 9 years, I still feel like the rhythm of our home is changing a little bit. This is different for us homeschool families as well. But already today, I told the kids, okay, we have to get back on our schedule. We have to get back in our family rhythm, because if we keep living as if it's a vacation week, our children actually bicker more. The house starts to fall apart. And so we are putting back together a COVID routine.
A routine.
Yes.
So your first suggestion for us, or piece of advice, is have a routine,
yes,
some structure. What would that look like in your family? Or what do you think it could look like in our families?
Well, in our family, we have a wake-up time of 7:30, which is probably late for all of you who go to school, but that is our wake-up time pretty much year-round. So by 8:15, the kids are supposed to have gotten their chores done and had some breakfast. And we usually have our Bible time around 8:15, 8:30. And from there, after our Bible time, our older kids go off and they begin working on their studies that they work on independently. And I work with the younger kids until lunch, typically.
So all the way until lunch. Can the kids get up during that time and have a snack or anything? Or that is just work time from 9 till noon?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's probably ideal if they don't get up a whole lot,
okay,
especially for my older kids that need to stay on task. We actually time box is our goal, about 45 minutes per subject to an hour a subject. And so my older kids really respect that. So they're allowed a break in between subjects. And typically their goal is to hit 3 subjects before they go to lunch,
okay,
to complete 3 subjects, because they have 6 subjects a day plus music.
So you set a schedule, you end your day around what time?
Well, that's where homeschooling is a little different,
okay,
right? There's flexibility. So our family actually works out together at lunch, and that usually is about an hour and a half of our day, because we drive to a location to work out. And so after that, we come back, shower up, eat. So that kind of extends our day longer than probably a typical family, because we're kind of basically borrowing from our evening. And so our kids might go until, you know, 5 o'clock with their schoolwork. Our older kids, our younger kids, though, after lunch, they basically my fourth grader does his writing and reading lesson with me in the afternoon. But my first grader, he goes and plays. Lots of outdoor play. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, so here's what I'm just going to recap for everybody listening. Yeah. So we set a structure or a routine. And I love that you even mentioned our family goes to the gym, because I want our listeners to hear that this doesn't have to look the same for every family.
Right.
That's kind of the beauty of this time, is that we get to structure our school days around what works.
Yes, absolutely. And experience new things together. So your family may want to try something new together.
Yeah. Ooh, and we're going to talk more about that too, because I think that's a passion of both of ours, and maybe a little reason why I don't want to minimize at all other people's hesitancy about this season. And I absolutely understand that
it can be overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming, and it's easier for me because I have two teenage kids who already have a curriculum, an online curriculum that their school gave them. But there are things about this new schedule or new routine that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And so we will get to that. Okay, so set a routine. What is something else those of us who are homeschooling for the first time should think about and consider?
Like activities you might want to do? Or just, are you thinking about just practical
just
things?
Just practical, like the nitty gritty.
Nitty gritty.
Okay, like I'm just throwing this out there. Can we be in our pajamas all day so we don't have to go into school?
If you want to be in your pajamas all day, you can be. Our family, I want the kids to be showered and dressed. Mm-hmm. I think that they actually work better if they're showered and dressed. But like I said, if we go work out at noon, we shower when we get back.
Okay.
So we're not having to be showered for our first three lessons. If we're not working out, then we shower in the morning. So, you know, that's flexible, of course. But yeah, I do like my kids to be dressed and ready for the day. I tease them. I say, you don't want to look homeschooled. I'm totally joking.
I like that. That's really funny. Yeah. Angie has a great sense of humor. And she has a great sense of humor when she's raising her kids, too. It's always so fun.
I did divide our home up into zones.
Ah.
So we have the kitchen zone, and we have the mudroom and living room zone. And you know, you can divide your house however you want to. But I divided mine into five zones. And each child is responsible for their zone for a week. And it rotates out. So if you're on kitchen, you're on kitchen for a week. And then it rotates to living room. And it's trying to teach the kids respect for, if I'm not on kitchen, I still want to help with the dishes because I'm going to be on kitchen next week, or vice versa, right? So we're rotating our responsibilities. And so I have the kids check those areas two or three times a day just to kind of help keep up the house. So that would be really helpful if you're new to homeschooling, because when you're away from your home all day, it's not getting messy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're home all day and creativity is happening and life is happening, it can easily get out of hand within a couple days if you're not on it.
So you have chores. You
Yes.
have chores and things that the kids are responsible for during the day.
Yes.
I like that. And I think, like, really, those of us who aren't home with our kids all day and we're busy driving them places and just not around, that is a huge thing that we're going to have to get used to, because my kids aren't used to washing the dishes after lunch. They're not used to even preparing their lunch. They make it the night before and take it with them,
right?
But not used to all of those things. Would you suggest that we write those down and make it a very clear, tangible expectation?
Yeah, I put it on a simple Word document. I'm not very computer savvy. I just literally put columns, and then each kid has their own color. So each of my children has a different color of the rainbow that they are, and so then they can see their color. And I actually don't rewrite it up. It's on one Word document. It sits on my refrigerator. And they keep track of how they're going to be rotating through that.
I love that.
And so, it's easy for us all to see,
yeah.
Oh, who's responsible for this area?
And our kids are actually going to be learning new things that maybe they haven't done before.
Correct, yeah.
I was just talking to a mom a couple of days ago, and she said, lo and behold, I realized my kids did not know how to clean a bathroom.
Yeah, there you go. That's a life skill. That's right. Something we want to send them in the world knowing how to clean a bathroom.
Not just well-read and knowing how to do algebra.
Right.
But cleaning.
Some life skills.
A bathroom.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this is an opportunity to do that. All right. So we're creating some sort of a schedule or routine. We're teaching the kids that they have responsibilities, so they can divide that into zones or just a list of chores that they need to complete. Something else that you mentioned to me earlier, and this had to do sort of with the zones thing, is creating a school area or a working area. How do you do that? How does that differ with your little ones than your older ones? What can you teach us about that?
You know, it's looked several different ways, so you're going to have to figure out what works best for your family. At first, I created this classroom, you know, and I was going to do the school, and then I realized homeschool looks different than classroom learning. And so we do have a schoolroom, but it really is a catch-all for all of the school stuff. So of my five children, only two of them do their school in there.
Okay.
And another one does it at the end of the hall at a desk. And my younger two that are fourth grade and first grade, they actually have rolling carts from IKEA that they roll out to the dining room table, and we do it there.
So the dining room table is their space, and you can see them and help them as they need it.
Yes, and if I'm working in the kitchen, we have an island. They can sit up there, and they can do their math or things like that. Honestly, when they're younger, they need a lot of attention, and so you do need to sit down with them. But I also can get through with Bennett, my youngest, in 2 hours. If I sit at the table for 2 hours a day, he learns well. There's a lot of time that they learn other things at school. I don't want to call it wasted time. It's not wasted, but
it's
different.
I'll call it wasted time. Like lots of, you have to wait 5 minutes so everyone has their colored pencils out.
Right. So with homeschool, when they have that cart there and we sit for 2 hours or an hour, maybe take a break and then another hour.
It's compacted.
It is. And then they're done. For the day. And and then, like I said, my younger one, or my older, my fourth grader, he does his writing lesson in the afternoon in addition to those couple hours in the morning.
Okay. So you set up, you would recommend setting up a school area, but you're saying this can be a little flexible.
Yeah. I mean, you could find a bookshelf in your house that maybe you're not using and just put, you know, all the books together that you're going to be using. I like something that the kids can quickly grab. If they want to do school in their room where it's quiet or something like that, you know, maybe like at Office Depot, they have those collapsible rolling carts. My three oldest use that. So they're collapsible. They have wheels and then they have like that dorky handle,
yes,
you know.
The dorky handle.
Yeah,
but, I can picture them.
But they can put basically all their books in that. So if they want to go and do their schoolwork in the living room, they can they can move that easily. To
and
that area.
So many kids, depending on the school district or what part of the country you're in, so many kids have been allowed to bring home iPads or whatever it is that the school uses, and they're getting some lessons from their teacher on there, which I think is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are some moms listening who may actually have to be inventing a curriculum.
Right.
Angie, where do we even, I am not one of those people. I don't have to invent anything, but I'm just thinking about these young moms who all of a sudden, you know, they have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old at home and a toddler already. And what are they supposed to do? Where could they even start?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would think that it's probably the elementary school families that are facing that more. And it's a challenge, but I just want to mention that you probably have everything you need in your home already to have a great work day with your kids. Keep it simple. What do your children really need to learn in the next 6 weeks? I mean, character is probably the most important thing that they can learn in the next 6 weeks. But apart from those kinds of things, you've got math, you've got reading, and you have writing. Those are the three things that you really need to do. And beyond that, you can experiment and experience all different things than you normally would do. So things that I would say is you can make flashcards and do math flashcards. But I also have some great suggestions. I think we're going to do an Instagram video, but or add some things to the notes. But if you have dice, we do a game called Board Slam. That's free to print online. You can, my boys just love it if I'll play a game with them where we try to knock off all 10 numbers by adding, subtracting, or multiplying our dice that we have in our hand. It's so much more simple than we think. Just practice math facts. That will never be wasted time. Reading, sit down and snuggle up and read with your kid. My kiddos, I feel like those are some of the sweetest memories. If not for them, definitely for me. And so I try to read with each of my students every day. At least my younger ones.
I've been stifling that cough.
Oh, sorry.
I don't want anyone to think I'm coroned. I actually have asthma. Okay, keep talking.
That's okay. Sorry. And then writing, my suggestion would be journal this time. Get any little book that you can find. A cheap 99-cent spiral bound is just fine.
Yes.
Have them draw a picture every day. And then if they can't write, write it out for them and let them copy it. Either you can write it lightly on the bottom of the page so they can go over it.
Yes.
Or if they're a little bit older, they can copy what you wrote and they can put it into their book. And it will be a keepsake of this time.
Oh, I love that. For those listeners who don't know, I was a school teacher for 8 years. I absolutely loved it and then chose to stay home with my kids. But I taught first grade for a year and journaling was my favorite. And I truly, truly believe that when it's personal like that, a child has an opportunity to articulate and be passionate. And there is nothing wrong with him or her asking, you know, dictating what they wanted to say and us as the adult writing it down. I love that. So you're saying we don't have to overcomplicate it.
Absolutely.
We have things in our house like dice. We have paper and pencils. We can write out some basic arithmetic.
Yeah.
Why don't we look through those board games that we haven't had the time
Candyland
to play?
Candyland is a great one for little kiddos.
All of those games. Uno, right? Mm-hmm. They're learning sequential counting and just sitting and being able to read the stories. You know, research shows that children who are read aloud to, they become better writers.
Yeah, because they can see it.
Right, yeah. And even what about independent reading time? That's great too. Go out in a hammock if it's a beautiful day. Find a spot somewhere in the house where you don't usually just get to vegetate.
I love that.
And read a book. All right, you are giving us all kinds of excellent strategies. I am thinking right now of all these type 1 moms.
We love you guys.
We do love you. And you get it done.
Yeah.
Can there be some flexibility in a homeschool day?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have to stand there with a, what do you call those that judges have? A grovel?
Right?
And we're just like, get back to work. How do you make sure you're still likable? Right?
Oh.
I feel like we want to say, I feel like this needs to be like 5 ways to make our kids hate us at the end of the day.
Oh, have mercy. Isn't that
and
true?
And then we can be maybe the opposite of that. So how do we get through this being structured, but also at the end, likable? How are we not going to feel like we want to hurt each other at the end of the day?
That's a great question. You know, I was thinking about when I first started homeschooling, and I remember just crying to my husband one time and saying, I'm keeping them home so I can develop their character, and my character is so flawed. I'm so flawed. Yeah, so we don't do it perfectly, but I would say be able to say you're sorry when you do lose it. And I would also mention that usually if I am losing my cool, it's because I am being selfish about something myself. And that's the truth of it. Either I want the house to stay a certain way or I want to leave and do something. But usually if I'm able to sit down and really spend my morning with my kids, the rest of the day goes so well because we all want to get along. And I know there's going to be a transition period here because our lives, especially if we've been all going out in different directions to come in, a day after day is going to be tough, and it's going to it's going to tread on some personal boundaries or character, things that you like to do, ways that you like to do things. So it's going to be tough.
For all of us.
For everybody. For mamas and for the kids. Dads. I mean, everybody's home. My husband's home right now. Working from home. So it is going to be tricky, but, you know, be patient. It doesn't need to look like school. You just need to educate, but it doesn't have to look like traditional school. It might be baking cookies or bread with one of your kids and having them read the recipe and maybe thinking, okay, it usually takes me 30 minutes to make dinner. Tonight I'm going to take an hour and a half because I'm going to allow my seven-year-old to help me. Because if I try to allow my seven-year-old to help me, but I don't allot more time, I get frustrated. And that's not his fault, right? So I have to allot the time and space. But we've been just given a gift of time and space.
We have been given a gift of time and space. And I think that's something that we as moms, so you said a couple of things in what you just mentioned to us, Angie, and I think so much of that can be summarized as expectation. An expectation, you use the word selfishness, so an expectation in what we are owed or what we think the day should look like. But if we are able to maybe shift our perspective a little bit and glean from this time that we have that we never would have had before. And again, I want to be so careful not to minimize, because I fully realize there will be people without work. Families who there is some animosity, some difficult, just something there that it will be hard to spend this time together. And so I want to add to our list, you know, prayer, for sure, prayer, and mamas, stay in the word and be praying every morning. But what are some ways that we can look at this time as a gift?
Well, I was thinking about how almost every podcast or book that's come out in my circles in the last year have been about margin and rhythms and space. And I have this sense that we're all feeling really overwhelmed. And I said to my friend recently, I said, I almost want to get sick just so that I can rest, which is crazy, right? But it's like we've given this opportunity to rest. And of course, I had moments of panic, right? When you start hearing all the news coming through and things are getting shut down. But once I stepped back and I looked at it, I started thinking, maybe this is the reset that so many hearts have been needing, you know, in my community and beyond, really.
And there are, we have opportunities. Angie and I were talking about this before. I feel like we can look back at this time and it could be a, oh, remember COVID-19. How awful those 6 weeks were. But what if we can change that to be, oh, remember COVID-19? And we. And there was just a list of things that we as a family did together. And it can be as simple as getting the vegetable garden ready. It can be as simple as, I don't know, what are some of learning to clean the bathroom, right? It can be as simple as baking bread from scratch and learning our different measuring, you know, we do it in different in Canada and Canadian, so it's so different here, but learning, you know, how much is in an ounce and all of these, or how many ounces, what is it, Angie? I need to go back to school for my measurements.
How many ounces are in a cup?
Yes,
how
you're saying. So you can teach the kids that as you're, as you're doing your school.
Read alouds. Spend time in read alouds. My kids, I was asking them, I told them, actually, I was going to be doing this today. And I said, what would you suggest? And they, what do you think we should talk about? Read alouds.
Read aloud.
Read alouds. And one thing we've done that's fun, we read Bridge to Terabithia.
Isn't that a great book?
And I'm crying at the end, which is like the kids' favorite part, that mom was like choked up at the end of the story. And then we watched. And then that day, I actually called off the afternoon school and we watched the movie together.
Popcorn. Yeah.
It was just so fun. And it's one of those memories that the kids will never forget, right, that we did that.
And look at all the books on our bookshelves that we've often said, oh, if only I had time. If only I had time. And, you know, for the moms out there who have never taken the time or didn't have the time to read an entire novel to your kids.
Right.
I just want to challenge you. They will listen.
Yeah.
They will listen. I remember being teased a little bit when my kids were so young and I started reading the Narnia series to them.
Oh, yeah.
And some of my friends said, they will not, like, as if they're going to listen to this.
They do.
They do.
Yeah.
And it's uninterrupted. You know, an hour on the sofa, snuggled up. Make some tea. Have a tea party every day.
Mm-hmm.
Make some tea. I even That'd do that with fun my tradition. Teenagers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 4 o'clock mm-hmm. tea. The day finishes and we have tea. So all kinds of things.
And I know some of you mamas are nursing and have toddlers mm-hmm. crawling on your back. So sometimes I remember trying to do read alouds when they were all little. And it was, that was sanctifying.
Right.
So I did.
You realize really quickly that you can't do it all.
No, you can't. And you're frustrated and you're thinking, I wanted to have this memory. I wanted this to be special. It sounded so good the night before when I was thinking about it. But, you know, Audible is such a great way where you can snuggle up, and there's a ton of free Audible books, even on YouTube now.
And you can share Audible.
Right.
Too. Can you still do that?
Or yeah, you can. And away? There's like, Libby is an app that is from the library.
Yeah.
And I've been finding a lot of our educational chapter books that we're reading for school this year have been on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They just have a picture mm-hmm. and then somebody's reading it.
Yes.
So there's lots of opportunities to have free or inexpensive Audibles.
Or, and I was just thinking too, how little time we give just to the arts, drawing, doodling, you know, put out some paints, do a family piece and put it in a frame, you know, something mm-hmm. that makes this time.
And watercolor's less messy.
Right,
watercolor. That's just a little helpful hint.
It is much less messy.
We have our nature journals that are watercolor paper and, but yeah, it's great because my kids can pull it out anytime and it's not getting tempera paint all over. I mean,
yeah. And you know what? I also just want to say this. And Angie, I so appreciate you joining us. And like Angie mentioned before, we are going to, on the website in the show notes, we're going to include some links for you, some mm-hmm. Even some scripture that you can refer to. I think it's important, though, to remember you were created for this.
Yes. And God is going to equip you for what he's called you to. If you wonder if you're called to this, you have children. So you were called to this.
You were.
And he is going to equip you.
Yes. And it might just take a little while to get into the groove.
Yeah.
And so give yourself grace as you give your kids grace.
Mm-hmm.
But you are their mother.
Yes. You can do it.
You can do it. We believe in you.
Yes.
Angie Forrester, mother of five, who's homeschooled every single one of them.
Wow.
Believes.
You know you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Angie, why don't you end us with some scripture? We know that scripture is so important to both of us. Why don't you end us with a bold...
Okay, I have two things here. One is a quote from Dr. John Traynor. And it says, children are not a distraction from the most important work. They are the most important work. What you're doing with your kids the next 6 weeks is the most important work. So even while you're probably trying to balance whatever work you're bringing home and life being different, just know you're doing a good work.
Mm.
And then in order to keep your spirits up, I wanted you to join me in Jeremiah 17:7-8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream mm-hmm. and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green mm-hmm. and is not anxious in the year of drought. Don't be anxious, you guys. Put your roots in the water.
Mm-hmm.
For it says, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Fruit will come from this time, even though it doesn't look like how we thought it would. Mm. So even if it feels like a drought, there it will be fruitful as long as we lean in on the Lord through all of it. Mm. So that's just what I have for you.
Amen. Thank you, Angie. And I look forward. I look forward to years in the future of hearing about the fruit that came from a time where we least expected.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey everyone, this is Lisa Da Silva again, and I just want to remind you that you'll find more information about being an unexpected homeschool mom on our website, ariseministriescollective.org, as well as some direct links to many of the resources Angie mentioned in this episode. We also want you to know that we'll be trying to post more frequently over the next few weeks in an effort to come alongside you and create community, especially now that we can't see each other in person. We have an article coming out about biblical justice, and it's packed with links to great books you can read yourself or those at levels you can read out loud to your kids, as well as more resources to help you find peace in studying the Word of God and growing in your understanding of Scripture. May this be a time for all of us to find restoration and renewal in Christ as we slow down to stay healthy.